make sure you're in fellowship as Paul here is setting forth his team and example of true evangelism, providing, therefore, the evidence of the courage that one finds regards to those who are seeking to provide witness to others in this ministry. And he begins by declaring what their message was not, but in that vein, he further denotes what their message was, and that is, as he calls the gospel, our exhortation in this respect. And that we're dealing with that term exhortation here in our notes, page 7, page 29 or 30. The noun here, exhortation, has a nuance of the no-nonsense presentation of the truth, designed to stimulate the thinking of the hearer in a positive or encouraging way. 31, as we saw, it is used to note how God designed Scripture to be communicated. Scripture itself is exhortative. Hence, obviously, the presentation would reflect that. 32, Christ gave example of this in the communication of Scripture as one that taught with authority. It is not designed to be taught in a hesitant, mealy-mouthed approach. It is taught, designed to be taught with directness, candidly, straightforwardly, recognizing that the truth doesn't pull punches in regards to what it proclaims, and any opposition to it otherwise. And hence, to teach with authority. 33, where we left off, exhortation accompanies the teaching. It is part of the, if you will, format of teaching. It indicates a style of presentation, and it is designed to accompany the teaching, appealing with further logic and need to line up with Bible doctrine. He had the doctrine come in, would exhort upon it, this is what we need to do, need to line up with it, etc. And it falls hand in hand with the teaching in that regards for 1 Timothy 4:13. As Paul tells Timothy, until I come, give attention to the reading of Scripture, obviously. So that is the presentation of the Scripture to exhortation and teaching. So along with teaching is exhortation. And obviously, Scripture is completely and totally logical. It is human viewpoint that is illogical. So 34, the first line of evidence now, that positive volition is proclaiming the truth, is a willingness to address any matter of contradiction or other need for adjustment candidly in its presentation. This is a truth. It'll make any difference whether you want to believe it, or whether you believe it or you don't. This is the way it is. This is what God's Word teaches. This is what it states. And if you think otherwise, then you're out of line. See. And to present that candidly and straightforwardly, again, not mean-spirited, not abuse of authority, but simply, here it is. Take it or you will lump it in eternity. 35, this means the truth does not cater or placate, nor is it be made palatable. That is, being sugar-coated. To water it down so that it doesn't offend somebody because they don't like the doctrine. Or they hold to some other human viewpoint, sacred cow, in contradiction to the truth. The truth doesn't do that. Otherwise, it's compromising its own integrity. And God is not going to compromise His Word. He places such importance on His Word, He places it even above His own name, as the Old Testament so proclaims. His Word represents His very thoughts, His viewpoint on all matters and subjects of life. And it's not going to cater to that which is contradictive or dismisses any aspect of it to any degree. And again, you can see why often evangelism and the presentation of truth and witness is met with much opposition. Because it's not going to sit there and compromise. What it does is people are not interested, you just move on. But you're not going to sit there and compromise the truth just because somebody else doesn't quite like it or it's going to rub their feathers the wrong way. If people have erroneous ideas regarding the truth, you're not going to help them overcome their error by continuing to cater to it. You're going to help them overcome it by pointing out, this is wrong. See, this is what God's Word has to say. So, catering to placate, you know, to sugarcoat it, appeal to the flesh, you know, things of this nature, compromise, etc. 36, further, it does not cater to human viewpoint, the STA, or other hidden agendas. If you're wrong, you got a line, you're disobedient, it's a sin, truth is going to tell you that very thing. See? And in representation of the truth, a communicator cannot, therefore, dismiss these things, avoid these things in his presentation of it, or else he does disservice to the truth. He's not being truly upfront with you in regards to what God's Word has to say. And again, if it busts people's human viewpoint, sacred cows, it's not because we're trying to be mean. It's because we want you to see the truth of Bible doctrine in its stead and line up with it. Adjust to that. Reprogram your thinking to that, because that is what's going to benefit you in regards to your life and service to God. So, it does not cater, placate, make palatable, put it in some presentation form so that everybody is entertained by it. Get my little hand puppet up here. Hi, my name's Jesus. What's yours? You're Satan. You know, all this goofy stuff. Puppet ministries. These things go on in churches. You know, we stay away from that, even from the prep school. We're not here to entertain your children, by the way. Now, if they're real small, we'll try to keep them quiet. But children are in prep school to learn doctrine. To try to relate to them at a level of doctrine that they can understand. So obviously, to use certain visual aids, etc., it's acceptable. But to turn it into some form of entertainment is not. You're there to teach that child to grow up so when they're of age, they can walk into a main auditorium and sit there and know how to keep quiet and respectful, be respectful in regards to the main assembly and authorities before them. So. All right, 37. Their positive witness and application, Team Paul, is not intimidated by these things. See, that shows courage. To part of potential intimidation, like a pastor might know, somebody disagrees with your doctrine here. And that's the very doctrine you're dealing with. So what are you going to do? Be intimidated? You know, hold back? Water it down? Avoid it? No. You cannot be intimidated by these things. All it is just part of Satan's whole scheme using the STA in antagonism and opposition to the truth. And understand, God knows these things, and He will take care of these things. So their positive witness and application is not intimidated by these things. The example of courage. So 38, now Paul states this fact in terms of A, not from error, B, or impurity, C, or by way of deceit. 39, that they are presented in the negative here, the ude form, forms a natural defense against potential accusations while proving the courage Team Paul possessed. So 40, the noun error, plane, looks to deception or mistake with respect to Bible doctrine. Looks to deception or mistake with respect to Bible doctrine. Erroneously understanding it. 41, we relate this in terms of human viewpoint. That is any rejection, distortion, or other contradiction to the Word of God. 42, it is a viewpoint that is endorsed by the negative world. Human viewpoint. That's the one endorsed by the negative world. For 2 Thessalonians 2:11. With respect to the Antichrist, his appearance, the world at large that will embrace him, it is their embracing of him is a judgment in regards to accepting his system of belief that he presents to the world in delusion in regards to the truth. And for this reason, God will send upon them, them being negative volition, the world at large, a deluding influence. That's their judgment. You reject the truth, the judgment is fine. Then you fall under the human viewpoint category. Adhere to lies and that which is not reality in life in that respect. So that they might believe what is false. Might believe, literally, the lie. The lie of the Antichrist. 2 Peter 2:18. Regards to false teachers, false prophets, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity. They entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, looking at the negative world, otherwise embracing the cosmic system of belief and thinking. The unbelievers. So, human viewpoint. It's a viewpoint that is endorsed by the negative world. The standard mode of thinking today is that a new world order is best for the existence of mankind. People are embracing it more and more and more in this regard. That's in total opposition in regards to the plan of God who established a divine institution of nations, nationalities. It's a viewpoint endorsed by the world. The viewpoint that homosexuality is all right. It's just a lifestyle. Yeah, it stinks. the human viewpoint, that this creation came into existence based on chance. Evolution. That's the cosmic standard, a cosmic way of thinking in regards to looking at creation and presenting theories as fact. You hardly ever hear anymore anyone saying the theory of evolution. No, evolution stated as a fact. See, that's what they do to you. The human viewpoint of the world. And then you can take it and you can apply it to any principle, Bible doctrine otherwise. All you got to do is believe, be good and get to heaven. Human viewpoint. Etc. 43, it is a viewpoint sponsored by those without righteous principles. Of true righteousness, righteousness sponsored by God. Again, 2 Peter, turn back already, as we saw back then, 2 Peter 3:17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. The unprincipled men being these false teachers who are led by their STAs. They're led by greed, the phallic monetary trends of life, and things of this nature. False doctrine. Those who advocate false doctrine are led by their sin natures. People that are, advocate human viewpoint are led by ignorance, emotions, or their sin nature. It all combined, often, in that regards. 44, human viewpoint is the opposite of divine viewpoint. 1 John 4:6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. That sounds like an arrogant statement. He stated it. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. Difference between positive and negative volition. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And the whole context is obviously, in regards to this, is testing the spirits, and that demands being in fellowship and having the truth of God's Word in front of you in this vein as it's being represented and presented and taught. Those who claim positive volition, they will listen to us. Otherwise, they will not. People give you excuses of why they don't want to come to Bible class. Well, they don't want to listen to us. See, don't let them give you excuses. At least don't sit there and embrace the excuses, being legitimate. Human viewpoint. The importance of NPR, the importance of being in Bible class consistently, regularly. With the truth being put to you in a straightforward way. So that you can keep your own thinking in line with the truth of Bible doctrine. Otherwise, your alternative is to embrace human viewpoint. That which is contradictory to what God wants you to think, say, do, etc. 45, contextually here now, the error highlights false doctrine promoted by religious reversionists sponsored by satanic counterfeits. That is the opposition of the Jews and or paganism around them in that regard. Again, understanding that Satan has a counterfeit to the truth called religiosity. And that is how he largely attacks biblical Christianity, is through systems of religion to take issue with it, etc., etc. All right, 46, now the noun impurity akatharsia points to moral defilement. Moral defilement. That it's not from impurity. Romans 1:24. Regards to negative volition, determining to reject God and His plan, their judgment comes the fact that they then will remain enslaved to their sin nature. Therefore, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity. See, impurity defines what lust of the heart is. That's moral impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Part of the example within that passage is homosexuality and lesbianism. The queers and steers, or bulls. I can't remember what they used to call it. Well, that's not politically correct, and I'll keep telling you, I'm not a politician. Romans 6:19. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, the sin nature, the STA, sinful trend of Adam. The trend began with our corporate parents, and through their disobedience, they genetically inherited this perversion in regards to the flesh. It became part of their DNA, and they passed it on to their progeny, the rest of the human race. The only person that's ever escaped that STA through procreation is the person of Jesus Christ. For just as you presented your members of your flesh, your body, the sin nature, where the sin nature resides, it's in your flesh, as slaves to impurity, there's our term, and to lawlessness, that's disobedience to God, of being spiritually antinomian, spiritually rebellious, resulting in further lawlessness. All it does is a snowball effect. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Isolate the sin nature is the mechanics. And apply Bible doctrine. See. And live a moral life. 2 Corinthians 12:21. An exhortation to the Corinthians, I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past and not repented or changed their mind of the impurity here listed within sexual sins, immorality, or literally fornication, and sensuality which they have practiced. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Definitely defined as STA activity. Ephesians 4:19. They have become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality, the ones who are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, continually enslaved and led by their sin natures. For the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. every practice of moral defilement, and that insatiably. You can't ever satiate your sin nature. 5:3. Do not let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death the members of your earthly body. You do that, isolate the sin nature. Every time you look to confession to God for your sins, You're looking to Christ's work on the cross and that sin being judged on the cross. And what it makes possible for us to live a life of righteousness. Your earthly body, where the SCA resides, to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And then 1 Thessalonians, we'll see it again, 4:7. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity. It's not the reason for salvation. But in sanctification. Phase 2 sanctification. Experiential sanctification. So 47, literally, it denotes that which is worthless or waste. The term impurity. So 48, their message did not appeal to the SCA. 49, nor was their message led by the SCA. They did not operate in the sphere of being out of fellowship in regards to the presentation of the truth and in regards to compromising the truth with respect to those to whom they are teaching and exhorting. Now the truth will stir up your SCA. But it doesn't appeal to it. Their exhortation included calling the SCA to task, providing the alternative of righteousness found in Bible doctrine. That's the intention of Bible doctrine. To call us apart, to set us apart to God in service in a sphere of righteousness. To be righteous. Hence to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to imitate Him, see. And experiential righteousness, as well as eternal righteousness. And Bible doctrine calls the SCA to task. And the SCA also promotes and supports human viewpoint. So their exhortation included calling the SCA to task, providing the alternative. There is an alternative in regards to how you live your Christian life in your Christian walk. That is an alternative of righteousness that's found in the sphere of Bible doctrine. 51, Satan's world utilizes the SCA, sponsored by negative volition, as a vehicle to oppose Bible doctrine. That's where the error comes from. See. That's how he controls, maintains control over mankind. Through the sin nature, and then negative volition. 52, all that they proclaimed, Team Paul, served to advance the hearers spiritually and exploit their salvation under the principle of isolation of the SCA operating in the sphere of God's righteousness, plus R. That's where your union's position. Seeing God's plus R, and therefore you need to act like it and operate in that sphere. So Bible doctrine, sound just communicator, proclaims it all for the purpose to advance people spiritually so that they can take God's grace and exploit it to the very maximum. And build up their SG3 account, as well as Phase 2 blessings that would be associated with it, and hopefully to become prize contenders. Not here to placate the SCA, to appeal to it, such as through flattery and other forms of speech that is used in this regard, as he will bring out later. So 53, it should be remembered here that Paul is enlightening his readers on the principles of evangelism, both Gospel 1 and Gospel 2. Often, again, the Phase 2 part of interpretation is left out. And all the commentaries, interpreters focus in on is Phase 1. Now, evangelism encompasses both realms of teaching. So 54, that both nouns, error and impurity, are preceded with the preposition from, ek in the Greek, denoting source here. And the Greek text unabashedly declares that Team Paul avoided these influences in their teaching. Hence the importance of being in fellowship. The importance to letting your spiritual gift function and remain intellectually honest and stay in fellowship when you're dealing with the truth of Bible doctrine, either as a student or as the teacher himself. So, the doctrine that is presented, again, is our claim to fame, is free of error, and it's not sponsored by the sin nature. 55, this in an opposing world at large that embraced the alternative as a manner of life. The negative world obviously functions in a whole different set of rules. And that is rules sponsored and led by the SCA with human viewpoint error. Hence, courage. Courage to operate and stand for God's plan in the face of the majority of mankind that is not going to do so. Alright, 56. Now, the third phrase, by way of deceit, employs the instrumental of the preposition in to denote means. 57. This emphasizes that their gospel avoided any path of self-agenda. Any path of self-agenda. Deceit. To be misleading. 58. The noun deceit looks to a fraudulent abuse of the ministry. Here, using speech to promote a scheme for self-gain. 59. Paul will focus more on the methodology of deceit in verse 5 as it relates to speech. And that is flattering speech. The method, the mechanics of how deceit is employed in the ministry in this regards, through speech. So 60, it emphasizes that their ministry was not fake, filled with false promises or ideologies. 61, deceit is characteristic of the devil's world, using pseudo-religion to promote his agenda, his own agenda. Acts 13:10. Dealing with Annas, the magician, Saul, who is known as Paul, verse 9, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You are you who are full of all deceit and fraud. You son of the devil, the enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" And he was a false prophet, promoting the human viewpoint of religiosity. And Paul called him to task. Again, another example of his courage. And this is the pseudo-religious approach in regards to God's plan. 62, their courage refused to cater to the worldly mindset otherwise, thus proving themselves positive. 63, now this is the impact of the contrast of verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. 64, the comparative just as kathos here now parallels Team Paul's application and message as acceptable to God. In contrast to the negative, they are positive. 65, The phrase, "we have been approved by God," dokimazo hupo ho theos, emphasizes that their evidence and application had already been tested. Team Paul, in regards to being evangelists. 66, the perfect tense of the verb, have been approved, points to their prior history of population handling Bible doctrine with integrity up to the present. 67, Team Paul did not just make a claim of positive volition. They had established a reputation as such based on their ongoing fidelity to Bible doctrine. We all establish reputation in regards to life. And that reputation could be good or bad. Team Paul had a reputation. Their reputation was being evangelists and representatives of God and His plan. And they had proven themselves prior up to the Thessalonican ministry of being positive in this regards, of being faithful in this regards. Our term, have been approved, examined, looks their positive volition dealing with Bible doctrine and dealing with integrity with Bible doctrine up to the present. 67, Team Paul did not just make a claim of positive volition. They had established a reputation as such based on their ongoing fidelity to Bible doctrine. 68, in spite of consistent opposition in their Christian way of life and careers, they stayed the course. They stayed the course. They've proven themselves already. That is, that they have manifested and evidenced courage in the past. That is, standing firm in the truth under the filling of the Holy Spirit, employing an intellectual honesty. In spite of all the opposition they faced otherwise, people that took issue with them, people that took pot shots at them, physically tried to abuse them, things of this nature. It did not sway them. It did not budge them. It did not move them in regards to their stand for the truth of doctrine. And that is to protect their own reputation before God. Man has a way to evaluate people's reputation. God has a way in evaluating people's reputation. The kind of reputation you want is to be a friend of God. To have that reputation. So in spite of consistent opposition in their Christian way of life and careers, Team Paul, all they had to put up, the persecution, etc., in their ministries, in their missionary itineraries and journeys, as well as back in Jerusalem, they stayed the course. To stay the course. That is a prayer that you constantly put out in regards to believers, to stay the course. As you look and see things that are detrimental to that, ask God to intervene, to help whatever positivism they got to drawing up the courage to stay the course in spite of persecutions, in spite of testing, pressures, distractions, those other things of life that can get in the way in regards to your own spiritual advance. 69, God puts to test the claim of positive volition by seeing how they fare when confronted by the cosmic system. You claim to be positive, I guarantee you will be tested in that area. If you weren't tested, then where would the evidence be of your claim to be positive? That's why tests are essential. It reveals where we're at and what we are in regards to being individuals and human beings. Here especially in regards to our status before God and men. Romans 12:2. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, that's an exhortative format, see, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, that being set apart in dedication to God's service, acceptable to God in fellowship, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You do that through phase two, apostolation to Bible doctrine, that you may discern or evidence what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the conforming, not to conform to the world, but be transformed, denotes the conflict that's going on in this world, the human viewpoint, the FCA, etc., and that the fact that you live in this world, you will be tested. So God puts to the test the claim of polyvolition by seeing how they fare when confronted by the cosmic system. 70, the verb further assumes their fastidiousness and isolation of the STA during their life tests, as well as standing firm in the faith. 1 Corinthians 11:28. In regards to observance of the Lord's table, the exhortation to make sure you do rebound. And hence this term used in the sense of isolation of the STA. But let a man examine himself. How do you examine yourself? You look to see if you've engaged in any sin recent. See if you're in fellowship or out of fellowship. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Otherwise, you're engaged in this ritual. You're making a mockery of the whole ritual itself. God went to the cross so you could deal with your sin nature, see, and isolate it and experientially be pure before God. And verse 29 is dealt with in terms of judgment. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not judge the body rightly. And to take communion, the elements out of fellowship, you open yourself to divine discipline, and God will jam your body. Get sick or something. Some, even God killed in regards to such gross violation in the Corinthian church. What a church. And then for 2 Corinthians 13:5, in regards to the term used in conjunction with standing firm in Bible doctrine. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Check your thinking off in regards to the doctrine. Or do you not realize or recognize for yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? How is Christ in you? That's doctrine in you. He is the Word. Unless indeed you fail the test. That's the life test in regards to staying on the straight and narrow with doctrine. So 71, Paul's emphasis here is that God did not send amateurs for them to follow an example and application. The postulation tried and true. In other words, why they are examples to follow. Obviously, you wouldn't take a newbie, you know, someone green in regards to doctrine, and set him forth as an example. We had a lack of frame of reference, a lack of tenure, a lack of experience. And that's why those men who aspire to offices of authority, etc., are to be tested before men ordain them, to show that they have a portfolio of history of integrity to Bible doctrine previous. You don't give somebody the responsibility of a position that they're not and have not proven capable of handling, generally speaking. So Team Paul, this is his second missionary journey. All three men have proven themselves before God in the past and with consistency of being adequate before God, of doing it right in their missionary journeys, and hence why they are examples for these believers to follow. So 72, this allowed them, for the purpose then, of being tested by God previously and proven, to be entrusted with the gospel. 73, the purpose infinitive here, to be entrusted, for the purpose to be entrusted, is a common verb for faith or belief, pistuo in the Greek. So 74, this equates their positive volition to their approval by God. The verb itself equates their will, their willingness to believe, their volition, hence their positive volition, to their approval by God. 75, in the passive voice, it looks to God's critique of them as volitionally acceptable in witness of the truth. Now, the term was used earlier in chapter 1, verse 5, there denoting full assurance in regards to the gospel coming to them, not in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction or full assurance. So, 76, now the adverb so, huto, in this manner, literally, then advances the consequences that one can expect a positive volition with such fortitude and proven endurance in running the race. One who's, in other words, has established such a reputation and have done it with some tenure, some longevity behind them, improving themselves in regards to their integrity, to proclaiming the truth, that's going to hold certain consequences in regards to how they deal with people. There are certain results, a certain thing you expect from people who have been positive for a period of time, in regards to communicators especially, in this regards, that have already put up with the BS of opposition and persecution, people taking pot shots, trying to intimidate, and things of this nature. There's something you can expect from them in regards to one who has proven to be spiritually so fit and in shape and adept in regards to handling these types of tests in their life as communicators. And 77, it of necessity affects how they communicate. It will affect how they communicate. The term we speak, laleo in the Greek. So you can see why, in part, doctrine by an unjust communicator is communicated in such a straightforward and authoritative fashion. Been there, done that. Met people that's given opposition before. Met people and been in the test in regards to taking issue with the doctrine. Didn't faze me then. It's not going to faze me now. See, that's the idea. So 78, positive volition, teaching the Bible doctrine, grounded in application. Obviously, application has to be part of this. Does not pull any punches in its dissemination, in the spreading of the gospel, here in the evangelistic mode, in its teaching. And here, they had the present tense of speaking. Keep on speaking. We keep on speaking. And that looks at the fact Paul is essentially saying nothing has changed, Thessalonians, in our ministry, so stay the course. You learn from us. We have past experience. This experience has always been successful in regards to God's plan and how it's designed and evangelizing. And this is the way we're still doing it, and we're not going to change. Hence, Thessalonians, stay the course. You're doing it right. See, that's his idea. That's his mode of exhortation in this regard, an encouragement to these believers. You know, a lot of people just think, you know, well, I've got to have change. I've got to have change. You've got to change something. You know? No, a lot of Christian life is just hanging in there and staying the course. Doing what you're doing. And becoming tired of it. And becoming discouraged otherwise, etc. Think, well, how, you know, things aren't drastically happening. You know, why haven't God brought a whole bunch of people to our church? All these other things, you know, people get wrapped around the axle with. Now, This is the way it's been going on since the time of Paul. And then before. This is God's plan. Nothing's changed. I've seen it. I've got my years of experience. And I can proclaim it right now. It is correct. It is the right way to go. Stay the course. See. For any that may be contemplating a change of venue. So, this is pretty good stuff in here. If you like the Bible. 79, Paul again relates that reality in both a negative and positive terms. Not as pleasing men, but God. To be entrusted with the gospel, in this manner we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. You want people to like you, but when it comes down to push and shove, the people are going to get pushed. When it comes to taking sides with God or men. That's Paul's attitude. All right, well, time's up. We'll pick this up this week. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask you to bless each of us with the courage and drive, wherewithal to continue to stay positive, to keep the faith, to stay the course. Bring us back for our next Bible class, Second Sound, in Jesus' name. Amen.